Hello, everyone. We're back again. Last podcast of the Melbourne Boat Show for the year. I know I said that for the last podcast, but this one actually is for real. I'm joined by Joni Yick, once again, Tasmanian fishing extraordinaire, fisheries officer, science man, beautiful complexion and skin tone.
Keep it coming. Just a keep bit. Going.
Just yep. an all-round legend. You're on this roll. I've got nothing else, mate. No, Rob. What else is good about you?
Oh, I think you did sum it up.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll take it.
And we're here with Dave Jurisic from Bass Strait Lures, snapper fishing expert, tuna magnet, all-round legend. How you going, Dave?
Good, thanks, Dave.
Awesome. All right, so I guess we're just going to do a bit of a roundup of the boat show, boys. But, Dave, while we've got you here, I mean, you're here with your beautiful Bass Strait Lures. Maybe we might have a little bit of a chat about them first. First of all, how long have you been making lures for, Dave? Why did you get into lure making and is it enjoyable?
So, lure making for me sort of originated around 2 years ago. I've always been into tuna fishing. Love a lot of different skirts and lures out there. But I've always sort of wanted to make my own, something that I know is going to work, colours that I like to represent local bait. So yeah, I started looking into it and different design techniques from Australia and a lot from Hawaii.
Yep.
And yeah, that sort of led me into where we are today. A lot of my lures are all keel weighted and they do have a lot of lead in them. We do get a lot of wind in Victoria, so trolling lures and having them track good in the water on a windy day without getting that belly in the line and blowing out and all those things is a big must, especially if you want to keep lures in the water in these tuna's face.
So I guess you saw a bit of a hole in the market, given that, you know, like you say, we've got extremely rough weather at times fishing the Southern Ocean.
Correct.
And, you know, some of these other places where the tuna, where the lures originate from, they're quite calm. I mean, I'm pretty sure Hawaii is pretty calm a lot of the time.
Yeah, they are. But they
I haven't
do.
Been there, but...
Yeah, but for some reason they seem to use a lot more lead in their lures
yep.
in those places. And as I said, they just track better. They sit a bit more subsurface and bring a bit more attention to the lures.
Yep.
So everything I've kind of designed has been sort of related to that. And I've just sourced the best quality materials I could to make these lures. All the skirts are either Yozuri or, like this one, Blue Ocean Manufacturing from America and Fathom Offshore. So yep. I haven't skimped on any of the materials that go into these lures. Everything's quality and yep. I want them to last.
Yeah, no, that's great. And they're looking absolutely pristine. That first one you held up is it's a King Brown. We're probably not allowed to call it that because that's a Halco colour, but it's like it is a bit of a King Brownie colour. Which
Arrow squid.
Which you'd know quite well, Jonah. A very successful colour down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I guess that replicates one of the main key bait species in the Southern Ocean, the inshore southern areas as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it just seems to be very, very effective.
That's correct.
So what other bait fish imitation colours are you finding to be the most popular, Dave?
The most popular has been a smaller sort of 6.5-7 inch crystal.
Yeah.
Something around that size. That just represents a lot more, a better profile of the bait that's out the front.
Well, that's it. Our local bite I've noticed, and I know this because I scoop netted a bunch of them, were these pilchards that are probably about, 5 inches long, six
Correct.
Inches long.
Correct.
And that crystal coloured skirt is a really good imitation of that.
Yes.
So you've got a good range of colours these days to replicate a bunch of baits, arrow squid, yakkers,
red bait.
Pilchard's always a popular one.
Yep.
And then for some reason, tuna seem to like eating things that are basically radioactive glowing sometimes too.
That's correct.
Bit of a contrast. I don't know what it is, but...
I think it's just just a change of the colour, something different in their face.
So what goes into making a lure for people that wonder at home from the whole process? So you have to design the shape and then so you make a plug, is that
a
right?
Plug, yeah. So I make a plug originally from... cast a piece of resin first and then I'll turn that on the lathe, make a plug up, make a mould of that and then I'll use that for my moulds. Then I've got a mould for the lead inserts. Everything's then foiled with certain colour foils to represent that lure and to make it stand out better. I've used the quality eye in my lures, so they actually look like a proper fish eye. A lot of manufacturers out there do have just a red logo or just a red eye in them.
Hold that one up to the camera for us, Jonah. Can you pass it? So we can get a bit of an idea.
Yeah, the way I've just gone through everything as best as I could and try to source the best products to make these. There's a lot of hours in polishing, sanding, and actually getting them to look the way they are, but that's all part of the process.
We've had a lot of people walk past. They've looked at the lures. Kids love the lures, by the way. If kids were tuna, you'd be getting a lot of bites because the kids come up and they can't resist but grab the skirts and rifle through them with their fingers. So it's capturing their interest.
We have had a few hookups here. But
a few nibbles.
I saw one little fella this morning. He grabbed one of the lures, pulled it straight off the stand. His mum pulled it from his hands and then he burst out crying and literally had to drag him away because he just wanted to get back to that lure.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's it. Well, we had this little thing with Dave a few months back where his young fella had been harassing a lot of Dave's lures. So I said to Dave, leave it with me. I'll see what I can figure out. So I made young Sammy Standing a Wiggles lure.
Yeah, I wish I had a photo of it. But yeah, so I said to Dave, because every time he sent me I bought some lures off him and he sent them out. Sam would get to them before I would, and they'd be all over the house. He'd be running around with them, and you know, if I took them off him to go put hooks in them, he'd crack it at me. So Dave said, "Oh, what's Sam's favourite thing?" And I said, "Oh, he loves the Wiggles." So Dave's put the whole Wiggles tribe and logo inside this skirt head and sent it out to me
with Sammy's name.
So that's something you can do, Dave. If you want to message Dave, he'll love to make you a custom lure for family or
100%. To commemorate. Make any custom ones you want. Joey Fernand had a few custom ones made a few weeks back. I think there was an Essendon one in there. So I
promptly stole that lure off Sam, rigged it, and I've been towing it around behind the boat. So I just think it'd be a cool story if I hooked a giant tuna on my little Sammy lure.
Sammy Wiggle.
So, yeah, I've had a few people kind of come up and have a look at the lures, which I think are very well priced, by the way, and they take a step back. But how long does it take you to make a single lure, Dave?
Oh, look, from start to finish, there is probably a good 3 or 4 hours per lure.
Yep.
In sanding and polishing. That doesn't include dry time.
Yep. And skirting. Yep.
So that's added on top of it as well. So, but they are 100% handmade, and anything you want, any colours you want, just shoot us a message on either Facebook or Instagram, and I'm happy to chat with you and work on whatever you want.
And what's the best capture you've had on them so far?
So a good mate of mine, Cody Carruthers, he got 3 bluefin off Barwon heads in one day on Crystal Slant head.
Yep.
First lure I gave him was in the water for maybe not even 30 seconds. It was a second lure put in, and before they could put the third one in, it had screamed off. That fish came in at 1:30.
So I've left one of your lime, is it Hulk?
Yes.
Coloured bullet heads attached to
Citric a... Citric Hulk.
I've left one attached to a really big bluefin somewhere. So that one definitely works. I've had a few bites on your other colours. So they definitely work, Dave. And it must be really satisfying when you see...
That is the biggest thing for me. The satisfaction of seeing people's response and just their happiness when they have caught a fish. Matty Hunt's caught a few fish on them. And, yeah, it's just really good for me just to see that people are getting fish on my lures and they're doing what I've intended them to do.
Love it. Yeah. What do you look for in a lure, Joey? You're a lure trolling extraordinaire. We won't mention brands. Did I just call you Joey?
Yes, you did.
Joey Jonah.
That's all right.
Well, it is Joey's ring-in for this boat show, so I'll call you Joey.
Yeah, I can forgive you there.
Jonah?
I guess, look, for me, and you probably know what I'm going to say, is...
Well, we don't have to talk brands.
No, not brands, but I'm just saying the first thing I actually look at myself is the size. And correct. I personally like the 6-inch size all round. But, I mean, the colours do come into it, but I just find that since tuna seem to like these outrageous bright colours as well as the more natural colours, I try not to get too fixated on them myself. I'm one of the few people where I don't really follow what the local fish are actually getting caught on. I sort of run what I'm confident with, and I just stick to that, really. I never really change the spread up much unless I'm really struggling. But a lot of times I end up changing the distance of the lures behind the boat,
yep,
not so much the actual lures themselves.
Do you reckon tuna get shy after they've seen a certain colour or pattern after a while? Because every season there seems to be some new fad and everyone's running the exact same thing.
I think it's just a social media thing, Dave.
Yeah?
I do. I seriously think it's just, you know, what's in for that season.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I think it's... Maybe it's just coincidence, because I found in the past, you know, you put a new pattern, colour, shape out, and it seems to be successful. But and then, yeah, it gets on social media and everyone has to buy one and everyone's running the same thing. So, of course, it's going to catch more fish.
That's where I sort of think it sort of stems from that a lot, where, you know, a couple of well-known personalities have caught a fish on a lure and then everyone needs to have that lure in their spread, or two or three of them.
Well, here's a science question for you, Jonah. How long do you think that a tuna or a pelagic fish can remember things for? Are they like the goldfish? 3 second memory?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I have a feeling they probably have a better memory than 3 seconds, but whether or not they can actually see the lure, retain that information, the colour or the pattern, especially when it's been trolled at 7 to 8 knots, and then sort of recognise it again. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sceptical of that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I've heard it mentioned in the past, people catch a tuna that's particularly hard to wind in, and they go, oh, yeah, this one's been caught before. You can tell. It knows what it's doing. It fights dirty. It doesn't want to come to the boat.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. I also feel that every tuna is different. Every tuna behaves a little bit differently, no matter how big or how small it is.
Correct.
You know, you can have...
It depends on where you've hooked it.
Exactly. And that there's so many variables. That's the thing. As a recreational fisherman, you get such small numbers of catches, you know, in perspective, and there's always different variables, you know, from, you know, the time of day you're hooking it, the tide... even from day to day, week to week. So it's very hard to compare. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you do have to make your own observations and then make some sort of a judgment call on that to repeat that so that you've got some sort of confidence, really, to
correct,
run what you run.
I love your analytical mind. You look at everything with
I try to be as unbiased as possible and try to take into account all the observations and other people's observations. But... yeah, I'm certainly not one of those fishermen that gets caught by lures first, and that's probably also due to my frugal nature.
You're a tight ass, is what you're saying.
some might say that, yeah.
Frugal, tight ass, same thing.
Same thing.
So what's on the horizon for Bass Strait lures, though, as we wrap up talking about the whole lure thing?
We're only going to go onwards and upwards with Bass Strait lures, and, I hope it becomes one of the more standout brands in Australia with... some of the other lure manufacturers out there, and
I know you've had quite a bit of interest this weekend, and from a few tackle store owners and everything.
Yep.
So hopefully that'll boost the business up a bit for you.
No, 100%. Yeah, it should be good from here onwards. So.
Any new shapes coming out?
No, look, I sort of try to stick to a few standard shapes that I know work. I don't want to have too much in the mix and just make it too confusing for people. So I want a nice, easy sort of spread of lures that they can put out in the water with confidence and not have to stress about positions so much. And
yeah, I need you to start making new colours because I can only run 5.
Yeah,
and
correct.
I just put them on the bait board and I just stand there looking confused for about 10 minutes umming and ahhing. So if you keep it simple, then there's not too much choice for me.
All right, so we'll just run all crystals for you now on Davo.
Well, I know, but yeah. Mate, well, I need to do something because I've had a crap season. So
that
maybe
I
will.
At least it's representing the school of bait, swim behind your boat.
Well, there is that theory, isn't there?
100%.
Run all
I've
the same cruised
it with the King Brown with my small 5.5-inch bullet that I run behind Banger's teaser spreader bar, the King Brown.
Yep.
And that's a 900 tsunami spreader bar, and that's worked really well.
You've got those cool little, they're 4-inch bullet heads?
Nah,
gonna
they're
be
5.5.
5.5. They're going to be bloody awesome when we get our summer run of bluefin comes through.
Yeah, and that's what they worked really well on that last year. So, I found just run the King Brown deep diver and the spreader bar with a small King Brown bullet on the back was just deadly.
Well, I like it. All right. Well, that was good insight into the lure making industry, Dave. And
thank you.
Loving the look of your lures at the moment, and can't wait to catch some more fish on them. So
can't wait to see the fish you catch.
Pretty much so. All right, boys. So we're wrapping up the boat show here. What have you thought about it?
I thought it's been great. I mean, the weather's gotten better and better. We started with a bit of a cold start, but this is the first time I've sort of seen the boat show with this new layout down in Docklands, and it's been good, I think. You can sort of walk around everything. There's boats in the water. Everything's quite accessible and easy to get to. And yeah, we've had some, I think the best part about it for me has been the great engagements we've had from, you know, Victorian fishermen, even Tassie fishermen. Yeah, it's been really good.
We even got some cool new artwork given to us, some potential future hoodie designs.
We sure have. Exactly.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah, so you'll get them sorted for next year, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Thought maybe you were going to run with those. Give them to me?
Yeah, yours are all small fee.
Thank you to Alec,
I think it was.
Alec that brought those down.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah,
awesome. Hmm. And I know you're a bit of a food snob, Jonah. How have you found the Docklands eateries? We've done a bit of a tour to food over the last few days.
It's been good, actually.
What's been your pick?
I'd definitely say the pick was our paella we had. We had that for dinner a couple of nights ago. What else? We've tried Italian. we've had...
steaks.
Some steaks.
Oh, yep. The steak was
That's
good.
That's right, yep. Had a beautiful dessert last night. You know, that was, what was that? That chocolate mousse.
Fondant.
Good. The fondant, that's it.
Yes.
That was really good. It's been quite pleasant. I still got to say, though, the highlight since I've been here has been that breakfast egg and sausage roll breakfast roll that we got. Where was that from?
Hastings, mate.
That was outstanding.
The little food stop at Hastings. You reckon that's better than all the fine dining restaurants here at the Docklands?
100%.
Well, there's a good plug for Dave. Dave will be getting free egg and bacon for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm going to have to show him that. Yeah. The Pit Stop Cafe, that one is.
Oh, yeah.
Pit Stop Cafe in Hastings, is it, Dave?
It's in Hastings, yeah.
There we go.
All right, boats. Have you guys actually managed to walk around? Because I haven't.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I know you've done a couple of toilet trips and come back 2 hours later, Jonas. I assume you've actually looked at some things.
Some
lovely boats here this weekend. Absolutely amazing boats from fiberglass, aluminium, large inflatables. Yeah, so pretty much anything that anyone's in the market for is here.
I guess the big thing is there's a lot of flash boats that I'd love to have but probably could never afford to buy or run. So I think realistically I've still stuck to that 18, 19 foot size. Those Edencraft 565s and the I think there was an old Haynes 19R looked really nice.
That red 19R did catch my eye too. Yeah, very nice boat. Mm.
The Haynes 99R?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I haven't had a look at that.
Old school, fully restored.
And another standout boat for me was the Veitch.
Yes.
The Veitch was an absolutely amazing looking boat, and the detail and just the build quality of that looks really amazing.
For me, I've only been able to have a look at boats at night as we walk to the restaurants. I'm with you, Jonah. I'm realistic, and I think about what I'd be happy to be running in the future, and I love something in that 5.65 range, and it's that little bit bigger than your Cudacraft Gunshot, and a little bit smaller than my 6 meter Edencraft. Good in between size.
Exactly. I suppose the other boat I was sort of discussing with you earlier is that those New Zealand, what were they called? With
the offshore. Yeah.
I am interested to see how they would perform. I mean, I'm used to being in a fairly tippy, tender at rest boat, but I do think it'd be maybe at some point it'd be interesting to jump in one of them and see what it's like.
They look like a bit of a bulldozer as
well. They'll be me. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, they're for diving, I guess. So
eight mil aluminium used in them, apparently. So
yeah, that's what they told us. Yeah.
Quite amazing.
I'd be interesting to know how it performs side by side with my gunshot, you know, straight in at speed in sloppy or, you know, big seas. I mean, the main thing is I like the softness of it in with runs, you know, reasonable runs.
That boat is incredible into a head sea, I must say. Mm. It thrives in it, Jonah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to come fishing with us this week. Are you excited about that? Snapper fishing.
Very excited. It's been a while since I've caught a snapper, so I'm hoping that you can deliver.
Yeah, what's your biggest snapper?
Gift wrap one for me.
Oh, Jonah hopped off the plane one time. I went and picked him up from the airport, and he jumped straight on the Bar Crusher boats. and he wound himself in like an 8 kilo red, I think it was.
7 kilo, I think. I would have liked to play him on 8, but no. I think we caught like 5 or 6 in that session as well.
Yeah. Oh, they went off.
It was on fire.
Yeah. It was crazy.
No, I think that was mid-November from memory.
Mid to late November, which is when they're really hitting their straps. It seems like it's been a good start to the season, though, so you might be in luck.
It's been some good fish caught so far. So
You're one of the best snapper fishermen in Melbourne too, Dave. What do you think of the way that we're shaping up this year?
Nah, look, it's looking to be a really good season. There's a lot of fish out there. I was out about 2 weeks ago, got one good fish and marked a lot of fish holding in areas. So when that water temp comes right and everything sort of comes together and lines up, it should be a really good season.
Well, basically sounds like we can't miss, can we?
Basically
a guarantee.
Depends.
Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Are you fishing Western Port or Port Phillip?
I don't know. I asked my guide. I like these sort of fishing because usually I'm in control with all of my fishing trips in Tassie. I'm stressing about everything and it's just, consumes me. But I like these trips where I can just jump off the plane and I just relax. I just do whatever and wind in a fish. Most of the time I never even touch a rod.
Last time you came snapper fishing with me, it was like early October. Mm. And they were fully shut down for about 3 days in a row while you were there.
Yeah.
In fact, to the point where we caught an eagle ray.
Yeah.
On one tide, we then moved 5 kilometres away and we caught the same eagle ray.
Yeah,
the same one.
Yeah.
So I think that's a bit of a sign that the snapper aren't really feeding when that's happening.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that trip, we might have fished, I think I got off the plane, you picked me up, we went straight on the water and I think we fished 15 hours straight or something ridiculous. Then you took me straight back to the airport. I think I literally
flew over. And you slept on a steel bench.
On a bench, that's right. it was not great.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
First class.
But, exactly.
Nice.
No, well, it's been a good start, Jonah, so I'm hoping that... But don't get your hopes up too high.
Too late.
If I get you one nice fish, that's enough, isn't it?
One nice fish, I'd be happy with that.
Uh-huh. You're right if I want
7 to 8 kilo, yeah.
7 to 8 kilo. You should be right.
Yeah. Hey, if not, you can go with Dave.
I can't promise you anything.
We look forward to that. We'll get some photos up on socials and videos up during the week of your snapper fishing session. And the other cool thing is, Jonah, you finally managed to give me the footage from your giant swordfish that you caught earlier in the season. So we're going to edit that up and make a video of it too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's just so much stuff to sift through. I mean, the good thing is we had my mate on the jet ski who was filming from the from his jet ski. And then we've got my head cam footage and everything else. So a lot of different angles and cover the whole fight and the rough weather, which also makes it more exciting.
So for people who don't know, you were fishing out of Eagle Hawk Neck.
Yeah.
It was March?
April. It was just before Easter, Good Friday.
And you caught a swordfish of how big?
289 kilo.
So if you are in the vicinity of our stall right now, we've got a Gaiataku ink print of Jonah's big swordfish hanging up on the wall here, and it gives you some idea of just how giant this fish was. He caught it in an 18-foot boat, 2 people aboard, 25 knot winds.
Yeah.
And the thing, like, what amazes me most about the swordfish, Jonah, is the tail rest on them and the thickness that they have right through the body.
Yeah, it was basically like a tree trunk, and it was pretty much thick from the shoulders all the way down to the tail, just like a trunk, never really tapered off till you get to the actual... The rudder side of it, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to get that up hopefully on our YouTube channel very shortly. Looking forward to sifting through that one, Jonah. But that's for another day. So I think what we will do, boys, is we'll say goodbye to everyone here at the Boat Show who's wandering past and listening on the live feed on YouTube. Hope you're all enjoying the sun. It's been a ripping event once again. And we'll hopefully be back to see you next year. Might even get Jonah to come back again.
I think so. It was good.
Sounds
good experience this time, I think. And,
you've loved it. I can tell you've loved it. You really call yourself an introvert, but you've loved it.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful weekend. Yep. It has been. It's just the atmosphere, the weather. It's really stood out.
And a big thank you to my beautiful wife, Madeline, who's there, still cranking out the sails. What a legend.
And Suraj. Don't forget Suraj.
And Suraj. Suraj has been amazing. Yeah. He is the most beautiful man, isn't he?
He is. He really is. I mean, he kept us well fed. He helped out where he could. Gave us toilet breaks, you know.
You know what good. You need to do this week? Don't worry about me. Go fishing with Suraj because he's been catching 6 kilo snapper off the rocks.
Off the rocks.
I did suggest that. And he feeds us well with his curries, apparently. So.
And red wine.
Can we? We should do that.
We could potentially do that. Yeah.
Ooh, I like the idea. Yeah. When are you flying back overseas again, Jonah?
Is it overseas back home or overseas overseas?
Yeah, back to Tasmania.
Thursday.
Thursday, all right. Well, Maddie, I might not see you much this week. We'll be snapper fishing. She nodded. All right.
Nodded, no.
We're going to sign out, boys. Anything
thanks,
you want to add?
No.
You happy?
I'm good.
Loved it. All right.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah.
No worries, boys. Thanks for all your help. We'll be back next year.
No worries. Thanks, Jonah.
Signing out.
Cheers. See you guys.